The microchip supply has really dwindled. I'm David Brancaccio. First, while the financial headlines this morning are full of yesterday's further drops in stock prices, the Nasdaq fell 2.3%. This morning, a mood shift. Judging from stock index futures here, the Nasdaq future is up more than 2%. The Dow future is up 353 points, 1%. The S&P future is up 1.4%. We're waiting for the U.S. Federal Reserve to brief on interest rates, stimulus, and inflation today, just over 7 hours from now. The betting is rates start going up on March the 16th, the day the Fed's next policy meeting wraps up. What I'm saying is beware the day after the Ides of March, to get all Roman on you. The Commerce Department says some U.S. manufacturers have less than a five-day supply of computer microchips. The warning is in part to pressure Congress to pass legislation to boost domestic production of these things. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us now with some details.
Well, Commerce sent out a survey to major companies in the supply chain for chips, and it found that, surprise, surprise, there is a major mismatch between supply and demand. Commerce says demand for chips was as much as 17% higher last year than it was in 2019. And 3 years ago, the typical chip buyer had a 40-day supply of semiconductors.
But not now. It's about what we call pandemic distortions. But what does that mean?
Well, some of this is because of us, David. We keep buying stuff, and factories need more chips to churn it out. Also, COVID is causing some chip manufacturers to temporarily close, and that means U.S. companies like car manufacturers have to rely on their inventories of chips until they can get more.
So what are they thinking? What's a fix?
Well, the Biden administration, as you said, is using the report to draw attention to legislation that it says would help. It's called the America Competes Act. The legislation passed the Senate but stalled in the House. It would encourage the production of chips in the U.S., but even if it passes soon and is signed into law by President Biden, it would take years for any American chip factories to get up and running.
All right, Nancy, thank you. New cars use a lot of these hard-to-source chips, and we'll see how the auto manufacturers are coping when their quarterly results start coming out this week. Today, Tesla reports something precious electric car companies also need: lithium, a key metal in batteries, you know, lithium ion. Lithium's price is up 400% in the past year. Here's Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes.
To understand why lithium is so useful, a short chemistry lesson from Chris Berry, a strategic metals consultant and president of House Mountain Partners.
Lithium is the lightest of all metals. It's number 3 on the periodic table.
If you can picture the periodic table of elements, it's right up in the top left corner under hydrogen. Lithium's lightness also helps it store a lot of energy. That makes it useful for electronics. Viba Caldra is a professor of chemical engineering at Drexel.
When you have it in cell phones or electric cars, you want lots of energy with the minimum amount of weight. And lithium is great for that.
So great that the demand for lithium-ion batteries is higher than ever, says metals analyst Chris Berry.
Well, the price actually, and this is probably not the right word to use with batteries, but the price of lithium has exploded in the last year or so.
As much as $50,000 per ton. And Berry says that some battery manufacturers are starting to raise their prices in order to cover that cost. And that's not going to make electric cars more attractive.
We're all sort of focused on this tipping point when an electric vehicle becomes cheaper to purchase and then own and operate than a comparable internal combustion engine car.
And lithium-ion batteries are also at their limit in terms of how much energy they can store, says Drexel's Viba Caldra.
So there's only incremental changes that we can do right now. But for true sustainability of electrification, of transport, we need next-generation technologies.
That work is underway. Scientists are developing batteries with other elements. Christine Pearson researches new battery materials as a professor at UC Berkeley. She said there's promising work with sodium.
You can definitely make sodium-ion batteries. CATL in China has commercialized it.
CATL is a Chinese company that's trying to be a pioneer with this new sodium-ion battery. But Pearson points out sodium doesn't store as much energy as lithium does. That means a car gets fewer miles out of a charge or needs a bigger, heavier battery. And for now, all of those are a hard sell. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
Our tech team did a podcast series about solutions to the climate crisis with the search for lithium as a running thread, How We Survive, wherever you get your podcasts. With the world watching to see if 100,000 Russian troops near Ukraine are there for show or for invasion, responses are being prepared. The U.S. is now looking at backing up Europe's energy supplies if Russia, a major supplier to Europe, crimps its supplies in response to threatened sanctions. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Heaters are on in wintry northern Europe. The continent's been increasing its use of renewables, but it's still heavily dependent on fuel from Russia.
Gazprom itself, the Russian gas pipeline monopoly, basically supplies about 35% of European consumption of natural gas.
Jeffrey Schott at the Peterson Institute says that gives Vladimir Putin a potent weapon, but one he may hesitate to use.
The Russians certainly could cut off gas, but that would cost them a significant amount of export earnings.
And the U.S. is trying to blunt any potential impact, says Kenneth Medlock at Rice University's Center for Energy Studies.
The White House is already talking about redirecting cargoes to Europe. We've had conversations with the Qataris, not just U.S. suppliers, but global suppliers.
But if Russia completely cut off European supplies, the U.S. and its allies would be hard-pressed to meet all of Europe's needs right away. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, some U.S. companies that do a lot of business in Russia are urging Congress and the White House to bring some nuance to any sanctions it could impose if Russia moves on Ukraine. Oil companies, General Electric, and others want some products and services exempted from sanctions and room to fulfill contracts so that U.S. companies' assets in Russia are not seized by the Russians when they don't deliver what was promised. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.